And if you've got Bibles, perhaps turn with me to the book of Hebrews. This morning I want to just bring this series of teaching that we've been doing on entering into the rest. I'm expecting to bring it to a conclusion today and just wrap it all up, but you never know. God may have other plans, and I've not got anything else planned for it, but as God leads me. He may add something else. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, in the early part of this chapter, which as we read in the previous couple of weeks, we see that God's people failed to enter into the promised land because the scripture says in chapter 3, verse 19 of Hebrews, says they failed to enter in because of their unbelief. You know, their unbelief in God, their mistrust in God, prevented them from getting everything God had promised to bring them into. After everything God had brought them through, you know, they'd had you listen to the account of the Israelites as they were coming up out of Egypt. You know, if they were to stand up in the church on a Sunday and begin to share that as a testimony, we'd get excited at what God was doing. You know, how God brought them out, and the Bible says with a mighty hand, and a strong arm and a mighty hand, He brought them up out of Egypt, He brought them through the Red Sea. You know, when there was no bread to eat, God rained bread down from heaven. You know, when they wanted meat, God caused the birds, the quail, to fly into the camp. You know, when they were thirsty out of a rock, God brought forth water. You know, God met their needs. You know, and in the scriptures it says that they, in the New Testament it tells us that, you know, they wandered all that time in the wilderness. You know, they didn't need change of clothing. You know, their shoes didn't wear out. You know, God provided supernaturally for His people. You know, we get so excited if we heard that as a testimony in a church service. You know, get through all that, everything God had did for them. They still didn't trust Him. You know, and that mistrust in God grieved Him. You know, so He said, and you see in the early part of this chapter in Hebrews 4, it says in verse 3, it says, "We have believed to enter that rest, as He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." You know, because God's people grieved, He said, "Look, they're not going to enter into my rest." You know, and unbelief displeases God so much. I've said it quite a few times over the course of this series of teaching, and I'll say it again, that I think unbelief is the greatest of sins. You know, the Bible says this in chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verse 6, that faith pleases God. So if faith pleases Him, unbelief, or if we can use a word that's not English, unfaith, must displease Him. If faith pleases Him, not to have faith must displease Him. You know, God is looking for people that will have faith in Him. God is looking for a people who will trust Him. God's looking for a people that put all their confidence, and that's what we looked at last week, or the last time, that they put their confidence in Him. You know, the Bible says this, Jesus spoke this to His disciples in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 8. He says, "When the Son of Man comes," says, "will He find faith on the earth?" When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? You know, when God comes, He's looking for faith in His people. You know, when You know, we gather in a church service like this and we meet in Jesus' name. We know Jesus is in the midst of us because he's promised to be. But when he comes in among us, he's looking for something from us. He's looking for faith from us. He's looking for us. Yes, we come and we praise him, we come and worship. But above all, he's looking for faith from our hearts, faith in him. And he's searching for faith. And he's looking, as I've said, he's looking for people of faith, people that will trust him, people that learn to trust him no matter what they're going through. You know, that type of faith brings us into rest. We who have believed to enter that rest. It says in verse 3. We who have believed to enter that rest. Now, we're going to... That's what we saw, and we spent a lot of time looking at that last time. And then we saw that we need to get hold of, we need to hold fast our confidence. You know, this confidence comes out of our faith in God's word. You know, as you remember last time, we looked at Abraham, we looked at his testimony. You know, and it says of Abraham, he said of God, he says, I'm fully persuaded because I know that what God has promised, he's going to bring it to pass. He's going to perform it. What God has promised, he will do. You know, some years ago, I haven't used it frequently, although I think you'll find it is actually on the website. You know, what God says he will do, he will do. Or God will do what he says he will do. And I've produced a little folded card which stood on the... Actually, I kept it in my van at the time, just to remind me as I was driving down the road. Kept it on the dashboard. You know, God will do what he says he will do. Can't remember the exact words I put on the bit of card now. But... Now, what I put on that side of it, the Lord's just reminded me. Said, God's not through blessing you. What he says, he will do. What he says, he will do. And that's confidence in God. You know, when we have that confidence, you know, we can stand with Abraham, we can say, yes, I'm totally convinced, I have confidence in God that what God says, he will do. That's how Abraham could go and offer up Isaac. Because he knew what God had promised. He knew the promise of God. And as we said last time, if you want to go back, go to the website. You can download the messages from the website. They're there. An audio version is there, as well as my study notes as well, so you can read and sort of listen to the audio at the same time. But verse 10, because we're going to go on this morning, because I want to just look at something else we need. Yes, it's good. We've got to have faith in God. We've got to hold fast our confidence, as the scripture says, but we've got to hold fast to something else, which we read at the end here in chapter 4. In verse 10, it says this. It says, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. He who has entered God's rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, it is the first two or three verses of Genesis 2, it tells us that God rested on the seventh day. That seventh day he hallowed and set it apart as what's known in the scriptures as the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And after God had finished all his work, he rested. And we need to come to that place where we rest from our work, as it says here in verse 10. It says, he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works. We've got to come to that place where we rest. Now, yes, we've got to rest. I'm not talking about taking a day off or taking a holiday. Although that's vitally important, it's scriptural, and we studied that at the beginning of our series of studies. But we've got to take a rest from the labor, the toil, the pressures that we get from daily living. Now we all have them, the cares of living, whether we've got to pay the rent or the mortgage, we've got to pay the bills, we've got to buy food and clothing. Perhaps we have concerns over our children that might be going astray, not following the way they've been brought up. We might have other pressures and cares. Perhaps we're having troubles at school, at college. Maybe we've got things going on at work which aren't all good for us. Maybe there's health issues we're facing. Maybe there are other things that are pressures that are piling on in our life. We've got to learn to take a rest from those. Now how do we take a rest from those? Well, that's what we have been studying. You know, we trust God, we trust His Word, we have confidence in Him, because when we know what God has promised, we can rest. And God here says, He says, He who has entered His rest has himself also ceased from his works. You know, if you're worried and you're worried about all those pressures and things that come upon you, you're not at rest. Because being at rest, we could say is being at peace. You know, when we're resting, we're at total peace. I don't know, you've gone to bed at night, or if you work in the nights and you go to bed during the day, whenever you go to bed, and, you know, if your mind's not at rest, you can't get to sleep. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you can shut your eyes, you could try and shut the window, you can pull the covers right over your head. But if your mind isn't resting, you won't get to sleep. And you've got to learn the blessing of God. You know, one person put it like this, rest is letting go of all that work and letting God take over. Rest is letting go of all that work. What's that work? Well, let me read this scripture to you from the Amplified Version. It says this. It says, "For he who has once entered God's rest has also ceased from the weariness and pain of human labor." The weariness and pain of human labor. You know, when we spend all that time pondering or worrying over these things, what we're actually doing is we're working at worrying. We're working, we're toiling, trying to solve the problems ourselves. Lying awake, you're going over that problem in our mind. You know, what we're going to do about this thing? What we're going to do about that? You know, how we're going to meet this bill? How we're going to sort that problem out? We're trying to work at it. And God wants us to cease from work and rest. But it's not going to be easy. Why? How do I know that? Because the verse 11 goes on and says this word. It says, "Let us therefore be diligent." Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Whenever you see that word there, when it says, "Let us therefore be," you know it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. Because that word diligent there means to put in great effort. To labor, to be prompt, and to study. We need to be diligent to enter the... We need to put in great effort so that we can enter the rest. That's redirecting our effort. Redirect it from the problem to resting. All our effort should be directed at entering that place of rest. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Now, I gave you a few definitions for that word diligent, which come from the Greek. It says to put in great effort, to labor. Well, that's the same thing. Putting in a lot of effort or laboring. To be prompt. And the other one was to study. Now all those are accurate definitions of that word diligence, according to the Greek, and you'll find that it's translated various ways. In Timothy it tells us to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. I believe it's the King James Version of the Bible puts it like this: study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, elsewhere. But this word here, dearly, I want us to do something which isn't wrong for us this morning. I want us to substitute that word diligent in the scripture for each of these definitions. And I want just to allow God's Spirit this morning just to show us something. We could, this is the verse as it appears printed in the scriptures in my Bible. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. But we said diligent means to put in great effort. So if I read it like this, let us therefore put in great effort to enter that rest. Or let us labour to enter that rest. It shows us that there's an effort involved, so there's something that we need to do. It's not going to just drop into our laps. We've got to work at it. We've got to put in the effort in order to get to that place of rest. Also said that word diligent means to be prompt. So if I translated that word or read that verse like this, let us therefore be prompt to enter that rest. That shows us whenever a problem comes along, the first thing we should do is go to God. Don't put it off. Don't spend 3 weeks worrying about the problem before you even start thinking about going before the Lord. You know, do it quickly. Be prompt. You know, whenever you've got a problem, it was an old preacher put it, says that talking about sin, he says, keep short accounts with God. You know, if you sin or you do something wrong, don't wait 6 weeks and before you repent of it. Do it straight away. You know, repent straight away. You know, get right with God straight away. Be prompt when it comes to your dealings with God. When God tells you to do something, do it straight away. Delayed obedience is as good as disobedience. Did you know that? If you keep putting it off and saying, I'll do it later, I'll do it, what you're actually saying, what your actions are saying is, it's a disobedience thing. You don't trust God in an area. And you're saying, well, I'm not going to do it. You're like that man in the Bible that Jesus told the parable about. You know, he said, okay, God, I'll go and work in the vineyard. And he didn't go. Delayed obedience is as good as disobedience. You know, be prompt when it comes to God. Be prompt. Be diligent. And we've got to be diligent. We've got to be prompt to enter that rest. And then it says here, there's another definition to put in there. It says, let us therefore study to enter that rest. The other definition, the word to study. Let us therefore study to enter that rest. You know, I believe that last statement there is of great importance, particularly in the light of what's coming next in the next verse in Hebrews chapter 4. Because Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, you know, in verse 11 it says, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And then it says in verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word, that verse starts with the word for. Do you know what that word means? It means it's connected to the previous thought. It's a continuation. It's a development of a theme. And here the writer to the Hebrews says, look, he says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, God's word makes the difference in our resting. We've already seen it over the last few weeks. God's word, it's the word of God that's effective. It's the word of God that energizes us. It's the word of God that brings us into rest. It's the word of God that's able to penetrate. That's what it goes on in this chapter here, this verse here, and says. It says that it's able to penetrate our innermost being. It's the word of God that's able to discern and expose our thoughts and what's going on in our heart. God's word. Therefore, I'm going to translate verse 11 as this. Let us therefore study to enter that rest. Let's get into God's word so that we can enter the rest. Because God's word penetrates right deep into our innermost being. God's word affects and changes our thoughts and changes what's in our heart. You know, when we're under pressure, our hearts, well, we can see what's truly in our hearts when we're under pressure by the things we say. By what we say when we're under pressure. No, we can have a language in church which is all good. And when we're blessed, when we're enjoying the blessing of God, when everything's going right, we can come to it, yeah, it's marvellous, it's great, we can have a good testimony, we can talk the right talk. But when the pressure's on, when, as they used to say a few years ago, when the rubber hits the road, then we really know what we're about. Because what is in our heart will be evidenced by the things we say. If we truly believe what we say we believe, we will talk right when the pressure's on. You know, there's a good illustration there to just help illustrate what I'm trying to say. If you take a sponge, that sponge will always be a sponge. Doesn't matter where you put that sponge, it will always be a sponge. And what does a sponge do? What's the properties of a sponge? It soaks up whatever it's put into. So if you put that sponge into a bucket of water, the sponge will soak up the water. If you drop that sponge into a bucket of oil, the oil will soak into the sponge. If you put it into paint, the paint will soak into the sponge. Whatever you put that sponge into, it takes on what it's put into. It takes on the water, the oil, the liquid, whatever it is. Now, how do you get the thing out of the sponge? You squeeze it. You squeeze the sponge, and whatever's in the sponge comes out. Our hearts are just like that sponge. We take on whatever we are immersed in. So if we are constantly thinking about our problems, we're constantly thinking about the situations we're in, we're constantly thinking about the pressures on, or we're squeezed, we start talking the problem, we start talking unbelief, we start talking doubt. But if we're soaking ourselves in God's word, we're studying in God's word, spending our time with the Word of God. When we're squeezed, that's what's going to come out of our lips. You know, why do I say out of our lips? Because the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when the going's good and we're not under pressure, yes, we can say all the right things. We can act in the right way. But when the pressure's on, what's truly inside will come out. When the squeeze is on, what's truly in our hearts will come out. Therefore, let us therefore be diligent. Let us therefore study to enter that rest. Why? Because the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Then it goes on in verse 14, and it tells us something that we need to hold on to. And this is my final thought on this series, unless the Lord drops anything else into my spirit in the next week or so. Let us, therefore, it says in verse 14, hold fast our confession. Let us, therefore, hold fast our confession. It's not changed his theme. Yes, he's talking to the right hand to the Hebrews. He's shifting. He's looking at the high priest, Jesus, our high priest, who's passed through the heavens. But it's still, his theme is still the same. He's still talking about the Word of God. He's still talking about, you know, entering into the rest. He's still talking about this, because he spent two chapters talking about entering the rest. And it's showing that God's people didn't enter in because of unbelief. And it's showing us that we need to believe, we need to have faith to enter the rest. And then he's showing us here how to do that. Studying the Word of God, which is able to pierce down deep. And then he says, let us therefore hold fast our confession. You know, we make confession with our mouths, which is why I said it's important that we immerse ourselves in the Word of God. When we confess, we do it with our mouth. The word confess really means to say about something. And when many people talk about their problems. They're good at talking about their problems. Why? Because they're well rehearsed in it. They've spent weeks, months thinking about them. They can talk about them. They can say how great their problems are. They can say how big the difficulty is in their life. How severe the sickness is that they're going through. You know, as they keep on talking about them all the time, it just keeps enforcing the problem. The problem just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If I'm having a problem, right, if I've got something wrong with me, I don't. I get something like some sort of cold bug or some sort of flu bug or something like that. I don't like people asking me how I am. How are you feeling? But I don't want to tell you how I'm feeling. Because I don't want to talk about the problem. You know, if people say, how are you? I don't say, good. I'm fine. I might be racked with pain, but I'm fine. I'm doing good. So if you come in and see me and you ask me how I am, I say I'm good. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm good. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I could be racked with pain. I could be going through the biggest problem that I've faced for years. But as far as you're concerned, I'm good. Because that's my last word on the matter. I'm good. Because I'm very often working on something in faith. I don't want to talk about the problem, I want to talk about what God's word says. I'm good, I'm blessed, I'm fine. Because that's what, as a woman in the Old Testament that did that, you know, I believe it was another guide, and she rushed out of the house, and her husband's here, and asked her what, and she said, all's well. She went, on so let's went to the all's well. Everything's well. Well, her son had just died. But she said all's well. Why? Because she's working on something. Now she's speaking a word in faith. Now she might not have known it's a faith word or a word like that, but she's speaking. She's confessing with her now. She's confessing with her now. You know, whenever I'm in a problem, I like to talk what God's word says. Why not? Because I want to make out that I'm not feeling bad or I'm not going through a problem, but I want to confess what the word says. Why? Because the word is right. Whatever we go through, we've got to come to that conclusion. That's where that confidence comes in. We've got to say that God's word is right. Doesn't matter what my situation's like. Doesn't matter what my circumstances. Doesn't matter how my body feels. It doesn't matter what else is happening in the world. God's word is right. God's word cannot fail. And that should remain the same at all times. And that's what confession is. To keep confessing, to keep saying what God says, even though everything else may be different. You know, the news might paint one picture. You might read about something in the newspaper. You might hear it on the radio. You might hear it when you're down the street, in the marketplace. You might hear people talking about things. But what does God say? Because what God says is right. And that's what we need. We need to confess what God says. That's why we need to study God's word, because we need to find out what he says in the first place. So putting all our effort into studying the word of God and confessing with our mouth. You know what that actually does to us? That plants God's word deep in our hearts. It's the word of God that produces faith, according to Romans. It's the word of God that changes the situation. So when we speak God's word with our mouths, what we're actually doing is we hear the words we speak. When we speak it, we hear what God's word says. And when we hear what God's word says, according to the scriptures, faith comes. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. It doesn't matter whether we hear it from a preacher, whether we hear it from a CD or a tape, whether we hear it through someone else reading it to us, whether we hear it through us speaking it, we still hear it. And when we hear God's word, faith comes. And you know what that faith does? It breeds confidence inside us. And that brings us into rest. The biggest battlefield you will face isn't in some temptation to do something. Yeah, the devil's very crafty. But he's not going to tempt you. He's not going to tempt you to do something which you know to be wrong and not sort of really big things, because he knows you're not going to give in to that. But what he does, he comes into the battlefield that we face very often is in here, in the mind. Because he'll drop a thought into our mind and we'll ponder upon it. We'll consider it. We begin to think it over. And then it goes beyond the thinking stage. Then we start talking about it. And when we're talking about it, then something's put. We're starting to immerse ourselves in it. So what the battlefield is in our minds. And the devil wants to fill it with all sorts of things for us to think over. What we need to do is take control over those thoughts. And start filling it with God's word. You know, meditating on the word. Confessing the word. Consider the word. Believe the word. Allow God's word to be planted deep in your heart. Do you know what the scripture says? And I'll finish with this one thought. You know, God went to great lengths in the scriptures. Particularly in the Old Testament. You know, many chapters, verses and chapters are written about it. God spoke to his people while they were in the wilderness. He told them. He said, look, I want you, where the word of God is, because they called it, they might have used the word the law. You know, where this is concerned, he says, I want you to keep it before your eyes. I want you to keep it in your mouth. He says, I want you to keep it in your heart. He says, I want you to speak about it to your family. I want you to share it with your children. Talk about it. When you're sitting down, talk about the word of God. Well, he's not telling us because he's trying to build himself upward. He said because he knows there's a secret in the word of God. So talk about it. Keep it in front of your eyes. He told Joshua, he says, if you meditate in this law day and night, in Proverbs 4 it says this, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Because they're life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You know, keep it. God went to great lengths to tell his people to keep the word in front of their eyes. Keep looking at the word of God. Keep speaking the word of God. Keep it in your mouth. Why? Because he knows when we take hold of God's word, it produces faith. It produces confidence. And it's that which will bring us to that place of rest. We can enter the rest. There remains a rest for the people of God. Yes, there's a rest. And other people could say, well, that's talking about heaven and it's talking about when putting off into the future. But there's a rest we can enjoy now. Resting from all the worry. And you know, the Bible says this quite a few times in the New Testament. It says, don't worry. Have no anxious thought. Don't fret. Don't think about those things. Paul writes to the Romans. He says, consider those things that are trustworthy, that are praiseworthy, those things that are noble. You know, think about those things. Why? Because it brings us to rest. So be encouraged. You know, there is a place where we can rest. And if we just go back to the last few, one, faith in God. Two, it's holding fast to our confidence. You know, today we hold fast to our confession. We keep speaking what God says about the subject. First we've got to find out what he says, and then speak what he says. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray.